What's going on, everybody? It's Jason the Oak Whisperer here. So I have a question for you. Actually, I have a couple questions. So who here knows what they want to be when they grow up? Now, obviously, I can't see everybody raising their hands because it's a podcast, but who here knows just a general idea? Maybe you know all the specific details, but what you want to be when you grow up, why you're going to school. All right, so I'm going to assume that probably a lot of you have raised your hand. And even if you didn't raise your hand, I'm pretty sure I'm willing to bet that you probably have some sort of idea, but maybe you for whatever reason, you don't think it can happen, or you just don't know all the details, but I'm pretty sure you know something. All right, so here's the second question. Who here thinks organic chemistry is easy and it's a snap? I'd be willing to bet, can't say for sure, but I'm willing to bet that probably a lot of people didn't raise their hand. They probably think it's not. So now, what if I were to tell you that organic chemistry is easy and that each one of you right here listening already knows how to ace this class? Well, you might be saying that I've lost my mind. This would not be the first time that I've heard this since I say this a lot. And it might seem that way since that is not what you typically hear about organic chemistry, right? I mean, most people have some sort of story that you've heard about. So everybody that goes into it is afraid because of this myth or legend about it. But you see, organic chemistry, just like everything else in life, has a structure, a foundation, and patterns, okay? We all have our patterns, right, throughout our day. We have a certain pattern or routine that we do from when we get up to when we go to bed. Even if you say, well, my pattern, I don't have a pattern, I just kind of do whatever I want to do, that's still a pattern, okay? So it's still a pattern. And for me, organic chemistry, the way that I see it, I've always seen it different than everybody else, but what I see is that it's really just made up of lines and letters, okay? Now, if you were to look at a periodic table, maybe you're in your class or maybe you've got your book open or something, you'll see that there are a lot of letters on that periodic table, okay? Much more than the English alphabet, which only has 26. So what's nice about this is you don't have to know the whole periodic table like you did in general chemistry. You don't have to know the 26 letters of the English alphabet. You need to know approximately 10. And maybe your professor has told you this, but there's this word that you can write called Funkelbrich. It's fluorine, oxygen, nitrogen, chlorine, bromine, iodine, sulfur, carbon, and hydrogen. Funkelbrich is the way that you would say that. That's about 10 letters, and that's about all you need to know, with the exception of maybe a few other ones that aren't on there, but those are the basic ones, okay? Now, what about the lines? So what you're gonna have to do here with me, and this is gonna be a new thing for me trying to teach organic chemistry through a podcast, because I'm used to writing it, and organic chemistry is very visual, but what I want you to do is either write it out or just open up a book or kind of have something in front of you, okay? So what I'm gonna do is I want you to draw any alkene, a double bond, and I want you to draw the conditions for the hydration-oxidation reaction, okay? And then whatever that product is. You can get one out of your book. You can make one up on the spot. It doesn't matter, okay? So just go ahead and draw that out. You can pause this and just get that out, okay? All right, great. So what I want you to do here is I want you to look at that reaction scheme. Now, you can see that if whatever you drew, you'll see when you draw it, your hydration-oxidation, the things above and below the arrow, there's letters on there, right? So that's nothing different. You've seen those. That's the same letters that you use in the English alphabet, same letters that I'm using right now to speak. The words just seem to be weird, right? If you were to pronounce those words, you'd say, well, that word doesn't make any sense. It doesn't have any meaning. But they're still letters, right? So we can see that. Now, what about the lines? Now, what I want you to do is I want you to focus in on the alkene portion of your molecule that you drew on the left-hand side, okay, that double bond. So I think you'd agree with me that a double bond kind of looks like an equal sign, right? An equal sign has two lines, okay? Now, if you look at your product, you're going to notice that those two lines, if you got it out of your book and drew it correctly, should go down to one line. So you've gone from two lines to one line. That pattern right there from two to one is what you will see almost every single time when you're dealing with alkene. So if you remember, you're going to go from two lines to one lines, you've already solved probably 50% of the problem when students look at a question and they don't know what to do. Your functional group will always go from two to one, okay? That's pretty simple, right? There's nothing confusing about that. That's pretty simple. Now, there are ways to figure out in terms of how to go from the two to one and then figure out what you're gonna put on there. You'll also notice with the alkenes that you'll see that you're putting, where you have the double bond, you're putting something on one side of the double bond and something on the other side. That's the other pattern. So you're gonna go from two to one, and then you're going to put something on each side of where the double bond was. Sometimes you might get rearrangements, but overall, that's the pattern, okay? That's simple. If light bulbs went off right now when you saw it, you're like, wow, I never saw that before, start looking into your other function groups, whether it's an alkyne or a carbonyl, and you'll see very similar patterns, okay? That's one. There's also patterns about how to actually look at the reagents that are above and below the arrows, but I won't get into that now. That's going to be for another time, but these are some of the patterns and the techniques that I show. Now, what about the reaction scheme as a whole? Okay, so take the same one that you did where you drew your alkene, your arrow with your reagents above and below, and then you got your final product, okay? For those of you that haven't seen this, I've got a organic chemistry simplified series on my blog. You can just go to my blog, organicchemistoncall.com. You can click on blog, you can go there, and then if you just type keywords, organic chemistry simplified, or you can go into the category section, there should be a whole category section, organic chemistry simplified. And I think if you go through there and scroll, it should be organic chemistry simplified reaction scheme. It's probably one of the most searched things on my blog. But anyway, that was my little spiel there. So how do we use this right now? So take your reaction scheme that you have. And what I wanted to show you is there's a pattern with every single reaction scheme. So no matter if you're at MIT or you're at a community college or you're in another country or you're reading a journal article, this pattern is the same. This is kind of like the way that organic chemists communicate to each other. It's like their language, their structure, their sentence structure is this way. I know it seems weird, it's not intuitive, it's not the way that I'm talking right now, but that's just how they communicate. When all the chemists around the world look at that, they know what that is. So let's break it down and kind of use it to our advantage. So if we look at the left-hand side, we've got a functional group, which is our alkene. That will always be on the left-hand side of the arrow. That will be the first thing you see. That is what every single chapter in your textbook is based off of. It's based off of some functional group, an alkene, an alkyne, an alcohol. That will always be on the left-hand side. Then when you get to the arrow, you're going to notice that you're going to have things. Maybe you'll have one thing above the arrow. Maybe you'll have one thing above the arrow, one thing below the arrow. Maybe you'll have a comma sequence that starts above the arrow and then goes below the arrow. Maybe you'll have a numerical sequence with a comma sequence, like one, something, comma, something, comma, something. That will be the same. Now, how do we break that down? If you have one thing above the arrow and one thing below the arrow, we prioritize things in organic chemistry just like everything in your life, right? So for example, if I were to say, I want you to write me a list of the most important things, what do you put number one? The most important. You think organic chemists do anything different? No, they do the exact same thing. So if you have one thing above the arrow and one thing below the arrow, we're going to use the same patterns too. How do we read? Left to right, or we go up to down? Same thing. So in this case, we can only go up to down. So we've got one thing above, one thing below. What's above the arrow is what's important. What's below the arrow is typically going to be a solvent. It is not necessary to get the answer in most cases. So how does that help us? We know that the thing on the left-hand side of the arrow is our functional group. That's what we're studying. We know that's going to react with something. We know the thing above the arrow now, if it's only one thing, is the other thing. So now all you have to do is figure out those are the two important things that are going to come together. Okay. Now, what if we kind of made this, let's say, quote unquote, more complicated? I think that's not a really good way of explaining it, but let's say we added some stuff. Let's say now we go to the hydroboration oxidation sequence that you have written, okay? So you should have something like number one, BH3, comma, let's say THF. There should be usually two things, and then below it should be two, below the arrow, two dot, hydrogen peroxide, base, whether it's sodium hydroxide, OH, and water. So there should be, what, two commas down there with three things? How does this work? Same thing, left to right, up to down. So you're going to have your functional group with your double bond. That's going to be your thing, one thing you're going to focus on. Then you go to number one. Your BH3 is important. Forget about the second thing, THF. You do the first thing that you see in number one. Go to number two. You're going to have hydrogen peroxide. That's the most important thing. The rest don't worry about. So what this is saying is take your alkene in number one. You're going to react it with BH3. Then the next thing, you're going to get a product when you bring those two together. Now, whatever you get there, you go to number two, and it says whatever I made from my alkene and the BH3, now I'm going to go to two, and I'm going to react that with hydrogen peroxide. Okay, it's really that simple. So that shows you that you can break down. Now let's say, for example, we just had a comma sequence that started at the top, went to the bottom. Same thing, pick the first thing. If there's no numerical sequence, there's just a whole bunch of reagents with a comma, pick the first thing. Now I could also extend on this and show you how not only can you take the functional group and figure out how that will react in every case, almost every case there's a pattern to the functional groups and how they react, there's also a pattern to the reagents as well. And once again, I'll leave that to another session, but you can also break those down as well. So you can see that these patterns right here, there is a very simple and logical way to break down organic chemistry. These patterns that I've shown, as well as many, many more that I've kind of discovered over the 19 years, I've been teaching now since 1998, so that's about 19, almost 20 years, something like that. My math's not all that great. The good thing is you don't need to know a lot of math and organic chemistry, so that works out in my favor and yours when you come to meet with me. But these patterns, I found this way of really looking at it, almost using things that you see on a daily basis that you already know how to do. Another tip I'm gonna drop right here is, I've also got a video where I show you how you can take the periodic table and use that to show you how to figure out how many bonds you should have to every atom, It'll tell you that way you can figure out what the charge should be if you have formal charge questions or if you're doing a mechanism and you're not sure exactly. I've got a video on that. You can search that on YouTube. It should say how to use the periodic table or something like that. That's on my YouTube channel. Same thing, Organic Chemist on Call. But what's great about that is that the that periodic table is in your class, right? So it's kind of like your hidden cheat sheet. So what I try to do is I want to show students that to use the things in your environment already. So the periodic table, you don't have to like, that's already in your classroom, right? So that's already your cheat sheet there. When you're on your exam, I want you to be able to look at the exam and already break down the reaction scheme from all the tips and tricks and all the things you've seen. So you don't have to jam all this information in your mind and memorize it. You can just look at the exam and all of a sudden what it'll do is trigger that and you'll say, oh yeah, that's right. The OChem Whisperer told me that if I've got something on the left, that's my functional group. And then I've got a numerical sequence. You know, I just pick the first thing. It's like prioritizing my life. You want to associate it with your life. And then all of a sudden it becomes automatic and you're like, whoa, wait a minute. I have an A in organic chemistry. That is so cool. All right, guys, I think that's it. Until next time, I hope you guys have a good one. And I can't wait to work with you guys online. So get in touch. All right, have a good one.